So Parshas Bereishis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Nachash Arumi Kol Chayes Asher Asa Hashem Elokim. The Nachash was more cunning. That's the better word for it than any other man, any other wild animal of the field that Hashem had made. And he said to the woman, did God really tell you not to eat from all the trees of the garden? Now, obviously, it wasn't true, right? Hashem only told her to eat from the Eitz HaGadas. But this is the way to open up the conversation. Did God really tell you not to eat anything?
And at this point, we're assuming it's a nachash.
100%. Targum Onkelos does not translate the word arum. Okay. He doesn't translate. He simply says it as it is. He just says arum. Targum Yonasan, however, means chachim. He was wiser than all the other animals, which obviously does not take much. Rash says the idea behind the pasuk is that because he was so arum, seemingly so much greater than any other animal, that caused the snake to fall and to be lower than any other animal, the most cursed animal on the earth. Because it was so high, its fall was the lowest fall, a lesson in humility. That's the idea that Rashi learned from over here.
Because we know that it got its legs removed. Then the corner of this, how tall it actually was.
Give me a second with this. We don't know the height. No, that we can't know.
Was it like a dragon?
That we can't know. Listen, there are some snakes that have vestigial legs. Meaning, if you look at certain snakes like boa constrictors, you can see there's tiny little bones that come out from the body itself that seem to be like legs, right? Where it's like that. Okay. But no, we don't know anything that has to do with this specifically. How did it become so wise? The Chizkuni says because it ate from the Eitz HaDas already. It had already eaten from the Eitz HaDas. Chava and Adam were told not to eat from the Eitz HaDas, but the Nachash was never commanded to do so. And therefore, he gained a certain amount of intelligence, including the gift of speech. How was it able to speak? The Nachash ate from the Eitz HaDas and was able to speak. Can you imagine that? That's how it was able to speak. So when asking the question, how in the world was the Nachash able to speak? Says the Chizkuni, because it ate. What was the tremendous wisdom behind the snake's speech? Why was it called Arum here? As it was so wise, right? It's a wisdom that borders on treachery. What kind of wisdom was it over here? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the snake started off with one word. Started off with the word Af. Af ki amar Elokim. It wanted Chava to think that she wouldn't be allowed to eat the fruit of any tree, right? Meaning, if you can't eat from this tree, you might as well not be eating from anything. That's the idea behind it. And the truth is, this is how the Satan works. It convinces you that there is absolutely nothing to do on Shabbos. You can't do anything on Shabbos. I mean, you could do a billion things on Shabbos, but I can't do this. Okay, so you can't do that. It's like I can't do anything at all. Now, the way of the Satan is just that, yeah.
Can Satan get you? I'm saying it sounds weird, but like, during the week, someone's not going to sleep during the day. They have work, they have their phone, this and that. Now, on Shabbos, the whole point of Shabbos is Menucha. So saying, okay, fine, you can sleep on Shabbos.
I disagree that the whole point of Shabbos is for Menucha. Fine, but yes, there is an aspect of Menucha on Shabbos
itself. So now is the Satan getting you that you sleep 100%
in order to make sure that you have your extra sleep. You'll excuse it and say, like, well, I have to make up the sleep that I have during the week. The Ben Ish Chai did not sleep on Shabbos. Okay. Rav Avad Yosef never slept on Shabbos. He said, how could you waste such time? Every blot you learn, said the Ben Ish Chai, is seven blot on Shabbos. So he wouldn't waste his time with sleep. He would sleep on Friday. He would sleep on Motzei Shabbos, but he wouldn't sleep on Friday itself, on Shabbos itself. But this is what the Satan does. He tells a frum Jew that there's nothing to eat. You can't eat anywhere. There's tons of restaurants. Everything is kosher. What are you talking about? But no. There's nothing that you can eat. He says that Torah learning is the most boring thing in the world. You think Torah learning is about, do you know how boring math is? Do you know how boring science is? How boring history is? Just ask any child under the age of 14. There's nothing to eat, nothing to do on Shabbos, and Torah is unbelievably boring. There's nothing you can do over here. So this was what the Satan used, the Nachash used for Chava. He said, you aren't allowed to eat from that tree. What's the point in eating apples, oranges, pears, figs, bananas, grapes, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries? What's the point in eating all of them if you can't eat from this tree? It didn't make any sense, but that is exactly what we were trying to think over here.
That's why I never understood.
That's not for this year. But the answer is that Chava convinced him that if I already ate from it, it's time for you. Or because she squeezed it.
Knew that Chava was easier.
Chava was easier, and that's that. But the Satan knows how to get us, despite that making us despise everything that's mutter and crave the very few things that are also. That's exactly what it is. The snake did much more than that. He convinced her that all of the trees really stemmed from this tree. So if you're allowed to eat from all the trees of the field, then you can eat from this tree. Right. And if you can't eat from this tree, then you can't eat from anything whatsoever. That's exactly what he said. Af ki amar Elokim. You know what Hashem said? Lo sochem lo kol hazagan. You can't eat from anything because everything stemmed from this tree itself. It then convinced her that since you never heard right, the original command. But I did. I heard the command given over to Adam Rishon, and I'm telling you what he meant was that you can't eat from that first tree until the other trees came from it, and then once you had from them, they shouldn't be over there. Then anything should be lenient. Everything should be more makel. Those two arguments led her to be misupic in what was said in the first place. She didn't know what to do, right, and allowed her to think that maybe the snake was looking out for her best interest. Now, I'll tell you, over here, this Or Chaim HaKadosh, you need a Chidush Arim, Kiddush HaSlevi, Igra Dekala, and a Shemi Shmuel for added on ideas of what's going on over here. But that's that. I'm not going to go through any of them, but they're unbelievable things. So he's then asked, the Or Chaim HaKadosh asks, why did Hashem allow this to happen? Like, a Kiddush Baruch only shows right up at the end after Adam Rishon eats from it, and he's like walking through right the garden. What? But what's the point? Why stop it beforehand? Just don't let the snake do this. Show up right there at that moment when the snake was saying to Chava, Afki Omar Elokim, Hashem should have been like, hey, what's going on here? To which the snake would have been like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't realize. Why did he allow everything to happen in the first place? So the answer is that Hashem wants us to have the ultimate good that can only be achieved in accordance with our abilities and performance, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, as well as our challenges. So the more we rise above the challenges we face, the greater we become. We need to be challenged. There needed to be a challenge to eat from the tree and us to say no because Hashem said so. This was the challenge. He wants us to get this challenge. He wants us to become greater. That's our challenge. And we could have chosen yes, we could have chosen no. So the Malbim argues that Arum does not mean wisdom. Arum means not stupid. Chacham means wisdom, right? Bina means wisdom. Das means wisdom, right? A form of wisdom. Okay. Arum means the snake was not stupid. Snake was not dumb. Same thing. Okay. Arum meant that. It does things that seem to be wise and sometimes works out, sometimes it doesn't. He was going for broke over here. It could have not worked out, and it could have whatever it is, but it was not such a well-thought-out plan. Not like we were just saying from the Or HaChaim, because this is how the Satan works, and this is how he gets us, and whatever it is. It wasn't that way. The snake should have realized that his efforts would be futile, and that even if he succeeded, what was he going to get out of it? It's so weird. You're not getting anything out of it. It didn't think. It just did what it wanted to do instinctively, and it ended off with a horrible curse. So it just wasn't thinking clearly about what it wanted.
Who says the whole thing with the it wanted to sleep with?
So that's
the only reason
based on a Gemara and Shabbos that there's a desire from the kina that the snake had for that. It's understandable that a snake wants to be together with a human being.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we have to understand what that snake was, right? It seems very, very difficult because that means that the snake already had a yetzer hara of its own.
Once it ate maybe from the what's it?
Does any animal have that natural yetzer hara, that inclination, or is it something that happened only after the Eitzadas? Now you get into philosophical questions, right? If you're dealing with the Nachash being the Satan, then yeah. If you're dealing with a Medrash in which the Medrash is trying to tell us something that even the snake had a desire for Chava, then we have to understand what was that referring to. Getting a little bit too much over here. But the Moshe Zakenim says a tremendous Chiddush based on three questions he had. Moshe Zakenim asked, number one, why was the snake more jealous of Adam and Chava more so than any other animal? All the other animals didn't care that Adam and Chava were up there, but the snake was jealous? Well, what happened? What does that mean? Number two, animals don't have the concept of harama, trickery. What does that mean that it was more armed than any other animal? We say sly as a fox, right? But there's no foxes that are doing trickery like this. What kind of trickery does that animal do? That
trap their prey.
Trap, yeah, but trickery in this way, in which a language, so to speak, such a thing. And number three, it says avav at the beginning of the pasuk indicates that this is something that's being continued from before. He said, what is this being continued from? Ve'hanachash haya arum. And the snake was arum. Mikolat, this is Paragimel Pasuk Aleph. We just said that Adam and Chava were arumim, they were naked, v'lo yisbashashu, and they weren't embarrassed. So Moshe Zakenim says that arum by Adam and Chava, arumim, for sure means they were naked, and they weren't embarrassed of it. Arum over here by the snake also means that it was naked. The pshat is, every other animal has hair or fur. Every other animal has that. But the snake, and don't get me with this because I don't know if the snake represents all snakes and all lizards and all whatever it is, but let's say it just whatever, but the snake has skin. And at the time, this is before it had scales. Scales only came, according to the Medrash Tanchuma Siman Beis, after it spoke Lashon Hara, it got Saras, and the scales of the snake became the tsaras that it got forever. But it had regular skin, and it was not like any other creature in that it had skin in that way. Since it was the most like Adam and Chava, therefore it was jealous of them when they saw them together, and this is the connection to the parsha beforehand. Just like the what's it called? Adam and Chava were arumim, naked. So tuvah nachash ayorim. The nachash was also naked. very, very good. And that's the reason why it was more attracted and why it was connected to other mission more than anything else. And now we get to the obvious question. So how did the snake speak? So we already said that it ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's the Chizkuni's answer.
Isn't there a midrash that Adam and Chava knew the languages of the animals?
Yeah, for sure there could be. I mean, that in and of itself. So then you have an answer.
And Chava just answered.
Right, because you have your obvious question. There was no larynx. There's no larynx or tongue, proper tongue by the snake.
Right.
Now, it could be that it lost the tongue, it lost the larynx, whatever it is. But was it able to speak Lashon HaKodesh? So here's the different answers we're giving. We are going to give 7 answers to this question. Okay. Number 1, Chava understood animal language. That's the one you just said. Number 2, Chava understood the hints the snake was giving her, but not the actual language. Number 3, this is the Satan, either literally or inside her head. Number 4, it was the Malach of the snake that spoke to her, but not the snake itself. Was the Malach doing everything? Number 5, Hashem put these words in the snake's mouth, so the snake was able to speak. Number 6, the snake was given permission to speak because of its holy mission, which was then taken away from it. Number 7, every animal at the time had the ability to speak, not just the snake. Those are the 7 answers that are given over here. Now let's explain. Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Rashi says, Adam was known as a Nefesh Chaya because he had 2 things that no other animal had. Nefesh Chaya. What were the 2 things that Adam Rishon had? Number 1, Dea. Number 2, Dibor, the ability to think, to have Bechira, and the ability to speak. That means the snake, according to Rashi, the snake could not speak the way the humans do, right? It's clear because Dea and Dibor separated Adam from every other animal. So the snake was an animal. Even though it was a higher form of an animal, Arum Mikol Chayas Asadeh, it was still an animal. And if so, it could not speak the way humans do because that's against Rashi and what Rashi set up above. There's no question that animals have the ability to communicate. You know, there's the language of animals. There's no question about that. Maybe they can even communicate with each other. That we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. But perhaps Chava understood the language of the animals, and that's the answer for Rashi. Ibn Ezra says this in his first answer. He says, Vayomer means in its own language. Right? What it understood, and Chava was able to understand it, Beremiza. Or Achaim calls this Tziftzuf. Tziftzuf literally means the chirping of the birds, right? But really, it refers to the language of animals. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, even the things that are domim, meaning this table, this chair, speaks. They have the ability to praise God in some way, and we learn that from Perek Shira. Perek Shira is a whole sefer, I don't know what you want to call it, the Perek of the Shira, that not only the animals speak, but the grass and the stones and the world speaks. Everything has a voice. There were Gedolim, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who understood this type of talk. It's mentioned in Sukkah Chaf Chasam and Aleph. They understood Sichas Dikalim, the talk of the trees. He was able to talk to trees. Now, I don't know if that means he was able to talk back to trees or understand what the trees were saying. But the Shita Mekubetzes in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph says about Mar Avraham Kovsi. Now, the Shita Mekubetzes is Rabbi Tzalo Ashkenazi. He was a Talmud of the Arizal, right? Rabbi Tzalo Ashkenazi learned from the Arizal when he was in Egypt. The Arizal then moved to Tzfas, lived there for a year and a half, and died. Rabbi Tzalo Ashkenazi stayed in Egypt and made the Shita Mekubetzes, which is a sefer with all these shitos in it. Those shitos come from the archives in Egypt, all the old Sfarim that were there, because they had so many Sfarim there, and he wrote it together based on that. He wrote about Mar Avram Kovsi, says he was able to understand the talk of the trees and the talk of the animals. This guy, he was a Gaon. At the times of Rav Haigon, he understood it. And Sichas Shedim, Shlomo Melech and Rashi Malachim Aleph, Paragimel Pasuk Tezvav. It says that Shlomo Melech understood the language of the animals. Straight out. And that, we've had tons of Midrashim on, so we see that. And the unnamed Chacham in Gittin Memhei, he's unnamed. We don't know who he is. But there's an unnamed Chacham who knew the language of the birds and told a certain Rav to get out. I think it was Ula, I forgot who it was. But he told him to get out. You can leave right now. Get out right now and you can leave because that's what the birds are saying. He's able to understand the birds. You could understand. Adam and Chava understood the language of birds as well and the language of animals. The Chida says the word Chava is related to the word Chavi, which in Aramaic is the word Vayaged, to indicate that she had the ability to speak to every animal. Maybe not Adam. The Chida says that Chava was able to speak to the animals. She had the ability to speak, but not necessarily Adam. Maybe that's why she was called Chava Eim Kol Chai, the mother of all living creatures, not just of human beings, even though she was the mother of human beings. She's the mother of all creatures. Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe that's the reason why the Nachash never went for Adam Marisha. Maybe he would have if he could converse with them, but he couldn't. He could only converse with Chava. This is a tremendous chida that says only Chava had the ability to speak to animals, and that's that. And that's that. That's unreal. I'm sorry? Never seen it from anyone else. But the Chida says it. It's the craziest. It's great. That's our first answer, that they were, or she was, able to speak the language of the animals. Next, the Radak. The snake spoke through remiza, hints. Through hints and nods and things like that, but it could not actually speak this way. Chava understood what it was hinting to. But the words, Af ki amar Elokim, did God say, Lo soch mikol ezagan, was only this nachash looking at the tree and be like, like that. That's it. There was no actual words. But there's number one. Number one, that would be very hard to understand. All of these things were in addition. How did the snake know what Chava was saying back to it? Because Chava spoke back. Would Chava also use hints? That's just weird altogether. The Abarbanel says the exact same thing. Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel says the snake never said anything at all. It just indicated what it wanted Chava to do. Chava understood what it meant and did the things that the snake understood what she meant as well. What the snake said was, right, what the snake said is, you won't die if you eat the fruit. It took the fruit and ate it. And said to Chava, That's it. That's all it did. It didn't say actually out loud. Chava never spoke to it at all. It doesn't say that she listened to the voice of the snake.
I just feel like that's not saying it's a good shot.
It's the Radak and the Abarbanel who are answering in pshat. Not drush. This is not a medrash. They're saying in pshat. The problem is that the wording vayomer ela isha is problematic.
I would just say that just in general, I'm saying the fact that Chava listened to what it's saying, it makes sense that it spoke back.
It doesn't say the word Vayishma anywhere. That she listened. It says he said, then she said, then he said, then she said, but it doesn't say that she listened. Now you're right.
I just like,
and then by the way, and the wording afterwards is Vayar, she saw it and she wanted it and she would, but it doesn't say the word Vatara, I should say. But either way, but regardless, but that's the Radak there, Rabbanel. That's our second answer over here. Third answer. The Ibn Ezra gives another answer. This is not really a snake at all. It's a Satan. And therefore there would be no issue with communication between Chava and the Satan, because the Satan was able to speak the regular thing in the form of a snake. That's how the Ibn Ezra is saying it's in the form of the snake. The problem is that clearly the Parsha is dealing with a snake, since the snake is the one that's punished in the end. The Satan's not punished. The snake is punished at the end of the day. So I don't understand. If the snake didn't do anything, it was just the body of the Satan, why would the snake be punished for something the Satan did? The Satan should be punished. That's what should happen over here. It doesn't make any sense. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Perek Yud Gimel says, Sam Kel, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, which is a reference to the Satan, came and searched the animal kingdom for the best animal to complete its missions and found nothing better than a snake. So the Satan rode on its back and caused anyone who gave into the Yetzer Hara a loss of mind and spirit. That somewhat answers it. In other words, like, so why is the snake cursed? Because there's no worse animal than the snake, and that's why the Satan chose it in the first place. Okay, that's not great, though, because the snake didn't do anything. Snake didn't do anything at all. Tamidas, Ramosha Sternbach says, since man is greater and was created by the hands of Hashem, Hashem created for him a special Yitzhara that took the form of a snake in Gan Eden, a special Koach who had the ability to walk and speak and test Adam, who did not pass the test. When that happened, the snake form it chose became something disgusting and lowly, and the Yitzhara was no longer able to use the physical world, only something spiritual. That's why the Yitzhara ended up becoming something, so to speak, within us. You know, that little devil on our left-hand shoulder, as opposed to something else. But it could have been that throughout the world, if Adam Rishon had not sinned, then animals would have represented the Satan itself. Again, that's the Talmud Das, but it still doesn't really answer our question. Rabbeinu Bachai and Rabbeinu Ephraim, both as well as other Rishonim, say the Satan was created when woman was created. Let's not talk about this exactly, because this obviously gets there. There is a famous Rush that says, Hu ha Satan, Hu ha Yetzer Hara, Hu ha Malach HaMaves, Hu ha Isha. Interesting. The concept is that our taiva lies within the woman. And because we desire woman, possibly more so than woman desire us, I guess that can be argued one way or the other, but the true desire that a man has for a woman, that is our biggest yetzer hara. There is no greater yetzer hara in such a way. In that way, the woman was more susceptible to the yetzer hara, possibly, however you want to put it, but that's what Rabbeinu Chaya, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, etc. Hanachash plus kolel, you know, the extra one that we add on, is a gematria of hasatan. The Satan bites and kills, injects its poison. That's the snake that does and breaks down the whatever it is. Perhaps that's the idea behind it. But again, that's a little bit off in their way. But then comes the Sforno. The Sforno is the greatest pshat you're ever going to hear in your life. This is the greatest Sforno of all time. He says, there never was a snake. There was no animal that attempted to trick Chava. Never happened. The Sutton is called a snake because the snake is a creature that has a lot of damage and very little toelis. Is there a purpose for the snake in the world? Of course there is. There's something good that the snake does. But mostly we see snakes as damaging and destructive. We don't see the good that's there in the snake itself. So the Sutton chose the destructive creature. It was never a snake. It never looked like a snake. It never was a snake. We're describing the Sutton as a nachash. That's it. They're off by one, by the way. Sutton and Nachash is off by one as well, obviously, right? That's the concept. Since the Sutton is all about taiva and veering people off the path to stay, you know, to stay away, whatever it is, it would make sense that the snake, which slithers this way and that and causes people to run off the road to stay away from it, would represent what the Sutton represents. But again, it's not a snake. There was no snake. What happened, says the Sforno, is that the Sutton created a suffix in Chava's own mind. The Nachash, which is the Sutton, said to her in her mind, she's like, am I not allowed to eat from any tree? There was no snake. There was no speech. There was nothing. She spoke to herself in her mind. One part of her mind said, am I really not allowed to eat? And she's like, no, I'm allowed to eat from everything else. But why can't I eat from that tree? I'll bet you there's something crazy about that tree. It was in her own mind. She thought it to herself. She thought nothing could go away. I can't get rid of this until I satisfy my desire. There was no snake, says the Sforno. It never existed. There was no physical manifestation. There was no speech that she was fighting. It was all in her head. Just like it is nowadays with our own Yetzer Hara. That's all it was. Crazy, right? That is probably the greatest shot in the world. The only problem, again, with the Sforno is, then why is the snake punished? We don't get that part. That we don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to us. But regardless, this Sforno is probably the greatest Sforno of all time. Ibn Ezra has a third answer from Rasadigon that the snake, as well as the donkey of Bilam, never spoke. The snake never spoke, the donkey of Bilam never spoke. Their malach spoke instead of them. It was the malach of the snake that communicated with Chava. The Netziv says this must be the correct shot. Since the snake losing its ability to speak is not one of the curses. The snake is cursed, right? You're going to lose your legs, you're going to go on the dust, and you're going to... Why didn't it lose its speech? It should have said, and you'll lose your speech. It must be it never spoke. So he says it can't be that it ever really was able to speak. The Malach spoke for the snake. Now that could also be that Chava understood the language of the snake. Obviously it could go with that shot as well. But regardless, it's got to be that way. But he says that that's it. The Malach became jealous. The Mazel of the snake became jealous. The Malach spoke up. The Malach caused him to sin. The reason why we don't mention the Malach is because we never talk about these things in the Pasuk says in Itziv. It says that we don't talk about these types of things. We don't understand the concept of guardian angels, and that's that. But it's a difficult answer because, again, why is the snake being punished for something the Malach did? That's number one. Number two, when in the world do we see a Malach rebelling against Hashem? The Satan's job is to do what it's doing. But a Malach rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? That's like a Christian medrash.
He's not rebelling in a way. If we go according to the other shot where Kadosh Baruch Hu could have intervened, but he didn't because he wants us to give that ability.
But the Satan has that job. A Malach of a creature doesn't have that job. That's the question.
That was the job of the Satan.
Of the Malach of the snake. It's just weird. You're right. You're 100% right. That's how the Netziv would say it.
It's not just then. It's nowadays too.
Very good call. That's the only way to answer it. But that's the difficult answer that you have with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra asked that on himself. He says on the Rav Sadia Gaon, he says that. Similarly, the Radak says that Hashem miraculously placed these words in the snake's mouth and made it say to Chava the tester. And that's similar what you just said. This is that. Similar to the donkey of Bilam. It's, again, the snake is being punished because what? Because it did what God wanted it to do? Like, what kind of a punishment is that? It did what you were supposed to do.
It clearly also ate from the
But then you have to use the original answer that it ate from the tree, which is a chizkuni. It's a different pshat altogether. That is redak. The chizkuni argues, again, that Hashem allowed the snake to speak, just like by the donkey of Bilam. There was a lesson to be learned about what was going to happen in the future, and the snake was needed for that purpose, just like the donkey's speech would be needed in the future itself. It ate from the tree first, right? And that's what we said before, and therefore was able to tell Chava the experience that the tree certainly would not have killed her, and it was able to speak itself, right? That's one answer that's only brought up from the Chizkuni. But this answer, now we're getting on to our sixth answer. The sixth answer is, the snake was able to speak. It was mamish able to speak. Okay. This is not a malach, this is not a satan, right? This is not a vision, like the Sforno said over there, right? This is not understanding their language or whatever it is or anything like that, or remiza hints. No, mamish, the Chizkuni says the snake spoke. because it ate from the Eitz HaDaas, it spoke. The Ibn Ezra's final answer is the same. The snake was given the ability to speak and have das just like human beings. It was at a lower level. It couldn't speak as clearly or as well. I don't want to give an example because that would sound racist and terrible, but right, well, we're talking about somebody who doesn't speak,
let's say he doesn't speak the language you speak and is trying to speak.
Right, but you know it. You know that that person right. is basically what that person is saying, but it had the ability to think and speak, just not on the same level as Adam and Chava. The snake was able to use its brain more than any other animal, but was not able Before to get it phrases. In the way, yes, no. but it could not do it in the way that Adam and Chava were. In that sense, it would be like, listen, parrots speak. Dogs can speak, right? There are dogs that say words and whatever it is. But those are not words because they can't think their way through.
Right.
I'm reading a book right now about Rav Yosef Wallace. I don't know if you ever, incredible, unbelievable book. Incredible book, I should say. One of the things he imposed, he had a parrot that caused people to go back on the derech. It's crazy what the parrot would do. It's a crazy book. You should read it. It's a crazy, crazy thing. By the way, the snake was able to use its brain and that's that. Through that ability, it lied, it tricked Chava, and caused it to be banished from Gan Eden. But that's the idea that Ibn Ezra says. Be'er Basad answers and says, we ask how the snake was able to speak, and he answers by first asking another question. He says, we say here that the snake was the wisest of all animals, but even if the snake was the wisest of all animals, that shouldn't make his intelligence equal to human beings. What, he was equal to humans? What did it do that's somewhat close? How could the snake have fooled Chava, a creature that much smarter than him? The way that Ibn Ezra just said it, it's on a lower level. Chava couldn't be tricked by that. Chava would have been much smarter. Would you be fooled by a five-year-old trying to trick you? A five-year-old trying to trick you? There's no way. Like, he sees that you have a lollipop, and he's just like, oh, look over there. Come on. It's a five-year-old. You're being tricked by what? By a snake? Now, granted, Chava was one day old here. I do agree with that. But regardless, in Sota Daptes, the Gemara tells, and this is what the Be'er Basada says, the Gemara tells that Hashem had planned on the snake being the king over all of the animals, to walk upright and to eat what people will eat. Those are the two things that the Gemara says about it. It would walk upright, and it would eat what people ate. Now it's going to be the lowliest of animals, crawl on its belly and eat dust. The snake was thus created differently. It was going to be the intermediary between people and animals. So when you ask, was it dumb? It's a different type. No, it was not as smart as Adam and Chava. But because it was used as an intermediary, as a servant for Adam, Chava and Adam trusted it and thought that it was out for their best interests. Because that's what it was made for. It would have remained that way if not for its own pride and ego and whatever it is, which Rashi said caused it to fall, right? But this is a tremendous lesson for us. We cannot be smitten by our own perceived greatness. But that's the pshat. Was Adam Rishon and Chava fooled by the snake? Absolutely not. They were not fooled. They just understood, right, that the snake was supposed to help them, and it never really did it. Okay, we have one more answer over there. Yalkut Ruveni says the power of speech was given to the snake only so it would be able to serve its master better, and even knew how to speak without speaking. It was able to give signs that certain people knew, but even that was taken away from it. So I don't know if this answer, the Yalkut Ruveni, is like the winks and the nods that we mentioned earlier, right? Like the Ramazan, the Radak, and the Abarbanel are saying, or if this is his own idea behind it. I'm not so sure, but the Yalkut Ruveni says it that way. The Minchas Yudah, Rabbi Yudah Fatayi, is a Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai. He lived in the early 1900s. He says his answer explains what the snake was doing there in Gan Eden in the first place. Why was it in Gan Eden? Like, what did the Chizkuni say? It ate from the Eitz HaDaas already. Were there other animals in Gan Eden?
No.
So why was the snake there? It must be that the Satan was sent directly, or it was the servant of Adam Rishon. That it was either, it was supposed to be able to fool him, or it was their servant. It was there specifically for him to go through. And that's what was given wisdom, able to walk upright, eat normally, and whatever, and speak. That's the reason why he was able to do it. See, Sanhedrin Nun Tesma Beis, right? That's the idea behind what it was supposed to be over here. It is an awesome answer, but all those are going in the same basic idea. The snake was able to speak. The Chidah says all animals were able to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Notice, by the way, that he says it was Lashon HaKodesh. There is a machlokes about that, whether they spoke Aramaic in Gan Eden. The Mekubalim say they spoke Aramaic, and in the future will speak Aramaic. That's why in the Seder, you start with Halach Ma'anya, and you end with Chad Gadya, Aramaic and Aramaic, and everything in the middle is Hebrew, because in the beginning, before they were expelled from Gan Eden, they spoke Aramaic. In the end, we'll speak Aramaic, but the middle is Lashon HaKodesh. I don't fully get that, but this idea, but the snake was no different from every other animal. It used its speech for evil. And the proof is, Vayikola Aretz Safa Achas. At the time of Dora Migdal, when the Migdal Bavel, everything was able to speak the same language, even the animals and the birds. I don't know what that means, because that means that for 1900 years, all the animals were able to speak the same language as human beings. I don't know what that means, the Chida is talking about. But regardless, he says that it was able to speak Lashon HaKedesh. The Malbim says, at the time before the Chait, no animals chased after other animals. They all ate grass. They all had herbs. I don't get that as well. The lion, for sure, had sharp teeth, right?
Right.
You can't eat grass with sharp teeth. It doesn't happen. Chimpanzees have those canines because they eat other animals. They're not only fruit eaters. But gorillas, they have the sharp teeth right in front because they also eat little bugs and stuff like that. Right. So did we have canines back then? I don't know. Did we?
You think he just, it was flat?
I would assume that canines came in when we didn't have to do that anymore. And we'd have to look at what they are.
The only reason why we say, I mean, by no authority, we know that Midrash where the lion bit him.
Clearly. Hit him.
Hit it. I thought it was bit him.
Yeah, it doesn't say bite.
I thought Midrash is the
bite. No, Midrash Tanchuma, Midrash Rabba. Doesn't say bite. Hikish, I think, is the word. Heichaf Yodshin. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very, very good call. But at the times of Mashiach, the tikkun will be complete. Everything's going to happen again. At this time, every animal is given a little bit of wisdom to help them understand their purpose in lives. They ate grasses. They weren't chasing after other animals. They were able to speak as well. They didn't receive Bechira. And they didn't speak on the level of Adam. But says the Malbim, every animal was able to speak, not just the snake. Every animal was able to speak. Therefore, no other animal was commanded not to eat from the tree. Only Adam and Chava, they were the only ones with free will. That's why the Eitz HaDaas is so bad for them. But everybody else was able to. When Adam and Isha met all the animals and named all of them, he noticed the special cunningness and the greatness that the snake had over every other animal, and thus chose it to be his helper. You hear this? He chose it to be his helper and therefore caused it to be his own downfall by bringing it to the Gan Eden. In the end, when the final taking takes place, all the animals will be healed. They'll all be able to speak. They'll all be able to have some form of intelligence, but not the snake. The snake will remain forever cursed.
Too smart.
And that's, I think because of this curse. The curse will be there. So every other animal, dogs will be able to speak. Your cats will be able to speak. My fish will finally be able to talk back to me and be like, why don't you feed us more often? And I agree with them.
You stop going back and forth.
They're finally going to realize there's going to be I think they'll want to get out of the tank by then. But that's that. But that's the Malbim. Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz says, it's clear all the animals had ability to think and talk at the time. Listen, Rabbi Yonason, all of them, of course they had the ability to talk. Since the snake was greater out of all of them, greater than all of them, that means they were all smart. They were all speaking. The snake had more speech than the others. How did that happen? The Medrash tells us that Adam Rishon was together with all the animals. People take that to mean that he literally slept with all the animals. Now, aside from that being ridiculously stupid and also time-consuming, right, that he was together with all the animals is just ridiculous, right? There's no way that such a thing could have happened. That's not what it means. What it means is Adam spread his wings, his protection over them, and when he did that, he raised them up to a level close to his own. They were all able to speak and think, not on his level, but they were all able to do it. So the Nachash was not unique. The Nachash is the only one that took advantage of the situation and did what it did. But every animal could speak. So now we have the Chida, the Malbim, and Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz that all said, not just the snake, every animal had the ability to speak. And when the snake did what it did, speech was taken away from all of them. And that's why the Nachash wasn't cursed.
Because it wasn't
to lose
him.
Its speech. There you go. So all of this answer of the Minchas Yudah, the Yalkut Ruveni, the Be'er Basar, the Ibn Ezra, and the Chizkuni that say that the snake spoke, Mamish spoke. You have the Kasha that you asked before. Well, wait a second. Why wasn't that taken away from him? Why wasn't that? According to this Tiferes Yonason, it's because every animal had the ability and every animal had it taken away. The Me'ash Shiloh says there was a difference between the different types of animals. Behemos, they were the animals that were made to be domesticated, never had the ability to speak. Cows didn't speak, sheep didn't speak, goats didn't speak, chickens didn't speak, turkeys didn't speak, except for the wild turkeys in Boston that kill people. But aside from all of those animals,
I mean, that kind
never
of makes
spoke.
Sense even nowadays. Cause
what do you need to speak for?
No, even by them, I'm saying like you have whales, they communicate. You have birds communicate.
Hold on. But the chayos, well, I'm sure that sheep communicate somehow. I'm sure they do. Right? I'm sure they have it. But we're saying that behemoths never had the ability to speak at all. But the chayos, they needed the ability to speak and to have a little bit more chachmah because they were living in the fields on their own. And therefore Hashem gave them the ability to that. The snake was wiser than the chayas hasadeh. Behemos couldn't speak. Chayos could speak. The snake was smarter and better than all the others. Midi kenegin mida, it was given dirt as its food and it's the lowest of all the animals whatsoever. That's because of what it did. That's the Me'ash Shiloh, the Ishbitzer says that's the idea behind it. We're going to end with one last thing. Yalkut Ruveni says the extra hay and vav. Beha nachash. It should just be nachash haya arum. V'ha-nachash and the nachash over there are not extra. When the nachash and everything it represents is fixed up in the world, the vav and hey of Hashem's name comes back. We all know about the Amalek, right? Ki yad al kes yah, because their hand is on the throne of yud hey. What's missing of Hashem's name nowadays? The vav and the hey. Veha nachash. Because of the nachash, we lost the vav and the hey. When we get it back, when the nachash is fixed, then the vav and the hey comes back. That's what happens when it comes back. Until that time, they belong to him. The nachash gets the hey and the vav. That's a malik. That's the satan. That's evil. But until that comes back. So that's how the Al-Gurvani says it. But it's an amazing, amazing idea. So we have seven ideas of whether or not it was able to speak. And we have a couple ideas on what it means that it was Aram. Let's stop with that.